Blog Talk everyone. Radio.
Hey everyone, this is Patriots Extra Podcast. This is Anthony Cresante. Also joining me in this today's show is going to be Tony. Tony, say hello.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Kevin, say hello.
How we doing?
Marcus, say hello.
Go Patriots. What's up?
And then obviously we have a special guest for this show. It's Bill Spires. You know him as the Real OBF on Twitter. How's it going, Bill?
Buenos dias, amigos.
So, with this being our first show, obviously we're just going to have a little bit of a fun time with it, see where it goes. Basically, what the breakdown of this podcast will be is a bunch of guys just getting together talking Patriots football. This week, it's obviously we're going up against the Buffalo Bills, and the basically the jackasses that they have become, and what they have all said this week about as on NFL Network this morning, saying that this is their Super Bowl. And it's September 20th, and it's the second week of the NFL season, and this is Buffalo's Super Bowl, so I don't know what that says so much about them, but what do you guys think about that? We'll pretty much just go around the table, and Tony, we'll start off with you.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is sort of pretty typical Buffalo Bills football, right? I think the beginning of the year, almost every season, they start out 2-3, 4-0, 2-1, and they have this ridiculous optimism, and then eventually they fall apart. I mean, one thing I was kind of looking up is that they've had 19 quarterbacks since Jim Kelly left, and all of them have been pretty awful. So I'm going to be kind of interested to see, if Tyrod Taylor is anything to, anything that can actually sustain an entire season. And they're talking a lot of crap. I don't understand why you would try and kind of poke the bear, I guess you could say, and think that's going to work against Belichick and Brady. So it's a lot of talk, but that's what you have to do in Buffalo. There's really not a whole hell of a lot else to do up there. So.
Yeah, hey, Bill, what's your thoughts on it?
Well, it's like, your little brother. You're always beating on your little brother, and he's got to talk because it's all he's got is talk. I mean, that's all they have is billboards and memes on the internet and drinking for 3 or 4 days before the game. And after the game, they'll lose again to Brady, and they'll go back to their subpar existence in Western New York, which that part of the country pretty much peaked in about 1875, and it's a steady downhill slide ever since. At least Rex is making it exciting. I mean, he is a good coach. He's a very good coach. He's got a dynamic personality, and he's kind of the perfect foil for Belichick. I mean, he is the perfect guy. If you're not Belichick, if you're not a part of the Patriots fandom, you want Rex Ryan as your coach. You either want Rex Ryan or Belichick. You're not Belichick, Rex Ryan.
Speaking of drinking, I guess they were reporting live this morning from Orchard, New York, or whatever. They were coming out of the hotel, and the fans were staying there. I mean, the fans were staying there also, or whatever, and, they're bringing out, like, cases of Busch Light beer or whatever to take to their tailgate or whatever. So
did say it was Super Bowl, right? So they got the Busch Light.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I've never tasted
that's
Busch
reserved,
Light. But...
In Buffalo, that's reserved for Super Bowls and wedding receptions.
Yeah, it almost sounds like Central Florida.
You don't go that high end down in Kissimmee, believe me.
Anyway, Marcus, what's your thoughts on that?
I just think it's time to play football. I mean, exactly what you guys have been saying. They've been our little brother. They beat us last year, and I remember I think we were undefeated until that last game, and it really didn't matter. They played us tough earlier in Buffalo. So I honestly think a long time ago I thought they could win this game. Looking at bigger picture, if we lose this game, I mean, that's not the end of the world. They're very, very tough. They had the number one defense last year, and Rex really can't stand us. And obviously I think everyone could have a collective sigh when, when he went there. So I think this will be a tough game, but, you know, hopefully we can get the W and keep rolling, because they poked the bear, just like you said. They poked the bear, and we can surprise a lot of people if we can win this game and just keep on rolling.
Yeah, very much so. Kevin, what's your thoughts on Buffalo, the Bills fans this week? And
honestly, I'm not even sure it's solely a Buffalo thing. Like, yes, the whole division is out to get us, because we've won the past, like, 15 years. But in my mind, this is Rex Ryan. Like, he goes all out. Like, I guarantee you, when that schedule comes out, he circles Patriots both games. So him going to Buffalo, he has that entire city, the entire fan base, jacked up, amped. And it's like, well, it's week two. Like, well, good for you if you win, but you still have, like, you know, the whole season. So I think in Rex Ryan's mind, if he wins today, it's a big accomplishment. But what I don't understand, even if you start off the season 2-0, it doesn't mean you won the Super Bowl. Like, all this trash talk, like, you think he'd learn a lesson. All he does is trash talk. He's got, like, billboards, like, calling Brady a baby and all this Deflategate stuff and all these comments. All it does is fire the Patriots up. Like you're asking for trouble. Like, just keep it all shut and play on the field. But that's not their style. So I think it's going to be a great game. I really do.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, I agree.
Go ahead.
I agree with that. And I think, like, one thing that you touched on, it doesn't this feel like Groundhog Day? It's like 2009 when he went to the Jets. You know, they come in and you hear the press conferences are nearly identical. And
I'm not here to
kiss
the rings.
Yeah, exactly. And, it, like, you know, sure, that fires them up. And I know we had some problems with them. And obviously, I was at the game. We lost to them in the playoffs in 2010. But at the end of the day, the Patriots are better. They're a better organization. They're a better team. You should just keep your mouth shut and go in and try and do the talking off the field. And it's just this repetitive cycle. Like you said, you'd think he would learn from this. But it's Rex Ryan. Sexy Rexy.
Sexy Rexy.
Yeah, Mr. Toe Licker himself.
Well, anyway, it was interesting. Malcolm believes it was. You know, he said, "Oh, this would be an upset if the Patriots win," and I think it's a good point. And I think it's also indicative of the mindset of so many people, obviously outside New England or outside the realm of rational thought, that already have this team, defending Super Bowl champs with the quarterback for all 16 games, pegged at either a Vegas or an emotional underdog going into this game. Now, obviously, we don't know how well Buffalo's defensive front's going to play until we see them play. But it is interesting how quickly everyone has discounted the Patriots sort of already, even though how well they played last week. And I think that remark is a good reflection on how so many other people think. And it is kind of amazing and sort of incredulous when you think about it. You said the deja vu. It's sort of the same thing like last year. After they got going after Kansas City, it was the same thing every week. Well, this isn't a good team. This team really isn't that good. This division isn't really that good. Well, this playoff opponent isn't that good. That playoff opponent isn't that good. Then they beat the Seahawks with properly inflated footballs, and it's like, okay, now we're going to go back to Spygate. It's like people are always looking for excuses to sort of find a way to discredit and take away from what this team accomplishes. And it's kind of interesting that we're seeing it so early in the season.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that leads us into the next subject that we wanted to touch on, is about the Deflategate and Spygate and all that. And, I mean, I could say, from my standpoint as a fan, everybody, I mean, this is, as we all know, as Patriots fans, this is all billboard material for them in the locker room. As much as Buffalo has come out this week and, you know, the players have been talking trash or whatever, you haven't heard really nothing at all from the Patriots. They keep it in-house, and they're just going to use it as, you know, fuel the fire, you know, to go out, whether this game is a 24-23 game or whatever, and we walk out of there with another W. They just do it the right way. And I think as fans over the time that Belichick has been with New England and, you know, following the Patriots way, this is just the way they do it. They don't need to go out and talk to rah-rah and, you know, amp it up like all these teams have to try to compensate for what they do on the field. They go out there, they talk trash on the field, and that's all that matters. I think we all seen it after Tom Brady got, you know, whatever, freed from the courts and everything, and this is all off his shoulders. Every interview he does, everything, I mean, I think it should be last because it's already wrapped up the game. It was like a minute ago. On the sidelines with a snarl on his face. He was so mad. And I think that's just the attitude that he and Belichick and all are bringing behind the scenes that are going to fuel this team for whatever, you know, they do this year.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think the other thing, too, that, like, as fans, we have to take a step back and realize is that do you think that any of the players on the New England Patriots from 2014, we'll say, really think that the amount of air in the football had anything to do with them, you know, beating the Colts, you know, beating the Ravens and then winning the Super Bowl? I think
no
it's just
way.
It's such a media-driven thing that these guys, like, yeah, they'll put it up on the bulletin board and they'll say, look, they don't think you can win without, you know, 12.5 PSI. Those guys, they know that's crap, and none of them basically were around for Spygate. It just fuels the fire and probably gives them a little extra, but at the end of the day, like what Richard Sherman, who I typically don't like, he actually had an awesome quote on ESPN last week, where he said, you know, you can have the tape, you can know the play, it's still about the 11-on-11 on the field. And, you know, I think that's what Bill does and the coaching staff does a great job of it. Ignore the noise and realize, I'll go to it, just do your job. And that's where, you know, the outcomes come from. So, you know, it's all noise to them.
Right. Well, going into our second subject that we wanted to hit on, Bill, I'll let you start it off. You brought it up. I try to stay away from the Deflategate, Spygate, but, I mean, you did bring up an interesting point as far as, you know, the owner's role. So I'll let you start off with this one.
Well, I reread yesterday. I got my magazine, ESPN magazine, and I reread the OTL piece in the magazine because they updated it a bit. And you know, I mean, I've been a journalist for 3.5 decades. So I have issues with sourcing and, you know, I mean, anonymous sources are fine if you follow protocol and they're vetted, and I have questions about the sourcing and the story. But assuming, just for the sake of this discussion, that the premise is true, and I believe the premise is true that the league and the owners went to Goodell and said, we got to, you know, get O'Brady on this, I think it's telling that, you know, there were other owners in this league. And if you read the story, and I've always believed that, you know, chief among them was John Maron, Jerry Jones, and the Rooneys. There were owners in this league that actually wanted Tom Brady sidelined to give their teams or other teams an unfair competitive advantage this season. Now, everybody knows, again, assuming that the Patriots did everything that they were accused of doing in terms of the balls themselves, that's an equipment violation that merits a fine. However, the rush to judgment, the rush for punishment that, according to this story, was driven by the other owners, took that, used the past sins of the team, applied them to Brady, and said, we're going to sit him for 4 games. And it was very eye-opening and telling to me, after reading the story a second time in the magazine, that, you know, the owners were behind this. And that, you know, they are so wary, scared, afraid, jealous, spiteful of this team that they would go so far as to push for a substantial punishment way beyond the crime against the quarterback when there was no precedence at all. And thankfully, the judge, you know, much to his credit, and remember, this was a courtroom and a venue chosen by the NFL. The NFL was the plaintiff in this case. You look at the
exactly.
pleading. I printed it out, 40 pages. I sleep with it every night. It's like the best pornography ever. And if you look at the pleading, the NFL filed this case. This was their case and their chosen venue. And that, you know, just compounds the crushing defeat that they suffered. And you take the loss that they suffered legally with the way that this case was generated, according to this ESPN story that we're all supposed to believe is the third testament, and it's just a scathing indictment of the owners in the league and how petty and vindictive they are toward especially Brady, because at the end of the day, you know, he was the one that would have suffered the most. The first-round pick's going to hurt the team. Sure, it's going to hurt the team, but that's one pick for 1 year, where Brady is down to like 2 or 3 years at the most where he can be competitive toward a, you know, going for another championship, and they were willing to basically rip this season out from under him to get payback toward Kraft and the Patriots. I mean, it was sickening when you, if you really think about it.
Yeah, and I mean, I look at it, you know, and I didn't really follow it because it just became so repetitious every day hearing the same thing over and over that I pretty much just shut off all the news reports anyways. But, you know, the owners that are like the owners that have been in the NFL, you know, since, you know, it was invented 95 years ago. And it just, these are the ones that, you know, I guess their time, you could say, is coming up, and, you know, their ownerships or their life or whatever is coming up soon, and they want to get another championship, and the Patriots are just holding them from that.
That sounds about right to me.
So,
well, and I think another possible sort of angle on that, the whole ownership thing, is that what do the owners all want in this league at the end of the day? They want more parity so that they can make more money. They don't want the league to be predictable, right? They want different teams to win different years. And with the Patriots being as consistent as they have been, it's going against everything that they've set this league up to be. And that's got to kind of, you know, get under their skin a little bit. And this is one way to try and balance that playing field.
Well, you can add to that also. If that's what they want, they want parity. And I kind of agree with that. Obviously, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, you had, you know, the Raiders winning, the Steelers winning year after year, and whatever it is, because of the Patriots. You know, the Patriots have been good. They've been winning, but they haven't won a Super Bowl every single year like they used to do back in the olden days. So, I mean, that's why they set the salary cap. You know, they put a salary cap and everything else in there, just because the Patriots have learned to use their salary cap in a productive way that keeps them winning every single year. And I'm not talking just Super Bowls, because obviously we know they don't do that every year. But I'm just saying, it keeps them, they don't go spending all their money, say, like the Seahawks have on Russell Wilson, and now they can't pay their best cornerback that's sitting at home another week because they don't have the money. So the Patriots have learned to, you know, maneuver, manipulate the salary cap or whatever, just smart with their money. That's what the salary cap was set in place for, and that's how teams have not learned how to do that. Because they're letting the players call the show. Where in New England, the players don't call the show when it comes to their contracts. And if they think they are, then they end up playing somewhere else. But anyways, we've got about 10 minutes left, and we have like 3 more subjects that we want to hit. So let's quickly run down these. Third subject, offensive line concerns. Who wants to take this one first? Do you think that with 3 rookies starting on the offensive line, or without Ryan Wendell, or without Brian Stork, do you think this is a problem? Who wants to take this first? Actually, I'll let I'm going to call him Marcus because he loves to talk this stuff. Go ahead, Marcus.
Offensive line. All right, well, first of all, we have Marcell Dareus is back on the defensive line for the Bills. So, I mean, we do have some rookies. I think the rookies are going to be tested today. But I think that the rookies that we had, is Brian Stork playing? Does anyone know?
I don't know. He's out.
He's still out?
Yeah, he's out. I think he's out for 8 weeks.
Yeah, he's on IR.
So, the ones that we – the guys that they targeted, they're going to be tested because they're rookies. But, I mean, at some point, do you want to get it out of the way? Because everything after that could be, a walk in the park. You know, I think they're going to have to get the ball out quick. If they can block and just not get steamrolled and just – not too many sacks. If they don't give up too many sacks, I think we can win this game.
Who wants to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing that you touched on that I think is going to be huge, Marcus, is those quick throws and getting the ball out early. So I've really looked at this offensively and defensively. This is almost going to be, to me, a similar game plan to what we saw in the Super Bowl, right? We're going to try crossing routes. We're going to try and get the ball out quick, and we're going to try and protect Brady. And, he still might get hit, but as long as we can keep moving the chains, I think we'll be okay in that front.
Yeah, the rookie played great against Pittsburgh, for sure. I guess from what we're being told, Buffalo's defensive front is far more skilled, bigger and aggressive. We all saw in our worst nightmare what a great defensive front he'd do to the Patriots in Super Bowl 42 and 46. I don't think the Bills are quite there yet. Obviously, the key to beating Brady is, like you said, to pressure him. Not necessarily sack him, but pressure him. He is going to take a beating today. Thankfully, LeGarrette Blunt's back. So that should relieve some of the pressure. And you'll see a lot of Amendola, especially underneath. And maybe Scott Chandler might get some look with all the King Kong coverage that Rex said is going to be on.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, I don't think that, we all know that Belichick plays, you see Edelman, he may come out with like a 12, 13, 14 catch game like he did last week, but this week you won't see him. You know, he may get 5 or 6 catches depending on how they play him or whatever, but they won't force the issue. I kind of think that's probably what's going to happen today as far as Gronk. I don't think you're going to see Gronk as involved this week as he was in week one, because he knows that Rex is going to be, trying to double, triple, and whatever, putting X amount of people on him. So just quickly, who do you think could be the I can't even think of the word, could be the surprise player on the offense today?
I'm going to go back to my boy Deion Lewis. I think, against a defense like this, you're going to see a lot of screen passes, and that quickness hopefully is what we can do to sort of offset the pass rush and, again, get the ball out and, just try and let him work in space. And he's, a quick, kind of guy that jumps all over. So I think Deion Lewis could have a big day. I like the Scott Chandler pick, too.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Chandler. This is the kind of game I think the Patriots got him for, this type of game, where there's going to be an emphasis on Gronk, and this is sort of, this was the intent when they had the two tight ends back in the day, when they had the Hernandez, of course. This is Belichick's dream scenario, this two tight end set, and, since Hernandez had his horrible murderous rampages and legal issues, they really haven't been able to do this. So I'm really interested to see how well this is going to work today. They didn't really need it last week. I think the plan against Pittsburgh was much different. But I'm really curious to see if, Chandler will do much today, because I think he's sort of it.
And not only that, they have a multitude of different sets that they can run with this two tight end set now. Because remember, in the red zone last week against the Steelers, they had four tight ends, I believe, on their last touchdown or whatever, the last touchdown that Gronk got. They ran all four tight ends on that play. So, even as they dropped Gronk back for blocking or whatever today, there's different looks that they can give with different players, which they haven't had in a long time. They really like to run the two tight end set. But moving on, let's move on to the fourth subject. We got about 5 minutes left. Defense, secondary concerns. Kevin, what do you think?
Did you say secondary concerns?
Yep. Should we be concerned? Growing pains? What?
I have a lot of faith in Malcolm Butler. Even if he gives up a couple plays, he's just that kind of guy that he forgets about it. Like, if you're a cornerback, you give up one big play, just forget about it, move on to the next play. I think he did a good job last week. I mean, he covered Antonio Brown. He might be the best wide receiver in football. So I'm not too concerned with him, but then the other side kind of worries me. Like, with the exception of McCourty at safety, we don't really have any lockdown guys back there. Wait, we let everybody go. So I'm concerned, but I think we'll have a good game plan where Belichick always finds a way to cover up his holes.
Tony, want to add to it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess my biggest concern is, you know, last week you didn't see anything from Sammy Watkins, right? So how do we match up? Do we put Butler on Watkins, and then who's covering and who's running with Percy Harvin? You know, I think overall, and I've kind of touched on this before, but we're back into that sort of bend but don't break kind of in between, and we really we need the front seven to create, you know, pressure, and even the defensive line to give these guys a little bit more time, because, you know, there's holes in that secondary. And, you know, if Tyrod Taylor, you know, we'll see if he was a better quarterback, that they may be able to pick that secondary apart. But, you know, I really think Sammy Watkins and how healthy he is going to be crucial, because if he starts getting open downfield and we're letting out big plays, that's when we're going to be behind the eight ball.
Bill?
Yeah, that's a good point about the downfield receiver. That's obviously where they're most likely to be exposed. And with, you know, I think this, you know, you guys mentioned Tyrod Taylor at the beginning. I mean, yeah, this will be a great test for him, and it'll be a great test for the Patriots secondary, because if he's able to spread things out, you know, that's Belichick's new sort of defensive game plan. It's, you know, there's really no man. Everybody's sort of covering their area. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, I'm real curious to see how this is going to shake out. You know, it's two really unknowns. I think, you know, we have an untested Patriots defensive scheme versus a quarterback who, from all accounts, is developing and coming into his own. You know, how is it going to go? I honestly couldn't tell you. I mean, I could guess, but, you know, it would mean anything. I'm real curious to see it. I think that's going to be the compelling, you know, matchup on the other side of the ball. Is can the Patriots contain any deep threats? And if so, how will Buffalo respond? And if not, you know, it could be a long day for them.
Marcus, got about a minute left.
Well, since I got the last 60 seconds, I'll just basically say the secondary, obviously, you know, we don't have those people we had last year, but I believe I remember beginning of last training camp them talking about Malcolm Butler. I always thought that, you know, if he could have learned anything, if you're an apprentice for basically a year with Darrelle Revis, all you had to do was just follow his traits. He does have God-given talent. He is on the, you know, he's a Super Bowl-winning cornerback. I think he can do enough to where he can be that guy. And then at some point, hopefully Logan Ryan or whoever that is on the other side can pick up the slack, and we can, you know, try to get things together by the middle of the season.
Very much. I just want to add to it. I don't know. I think our secondary could play a little bit better, and this is just me looking at it last week's game, is if we get a little bit more push from the defensive line. Last week, there's I mean, yes, they got to Roethlisberger a few times, but I would have thought we would have had a little bit more push than what we got. But that's just my. But anyways, we got to wrap it up. We're right up against the clock. I want to thank Bill for coming on. We'd like to have you on as many times as you'd like to come on during the season, when you have some free time.
Thank you very much. I certainly appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
And for everybody else, Tony, Marcus, Kevin, we'll do it again very soon. So everybody that ends up
Absolutely.
Listening to this, thank you very much, and we will talk to you guys soon. Go Patriots.
Sounds good.
Go Patriots.
Go Pats.
All right, guys.
Bye.